I really thank the Lord that we have the weather we have here in Texas, but it's been a little cold even for us, and yet it's not been all that bad when you stop and think about it. Okay, I'm going to talk to you tonight about revival. I want to have you pray with me right at the beginning, so let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege and the honor to be able to be here in this service with these people. I pray, God, that you'd bless each one of them. You know each one of them by name. You know their hearts. You know their needs. So, Father, I pray that you'll minister to them. I pray that you'll help us as we go through the Scripture. I pray that your Word will speak loudly to our hearts. And, God, we will receive it as it is, Word from Thee. Father, bless us now. We ask it all in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I really believe, and I've said this numbers of times, that there is a misunderstanding on the subject of revival. And I know it's because of what we've heard in the past, and yet even those in the past would have probably said it a different way. Revival is not lost people getting saved. That's not revival. No. Revival is saved people getting right with God. But when you get saved people right with God, it will be a great force in the church in reaching the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see how those two are so closely tied together there. Now, true, there are some who believe the hope of revival is gone. There are some people that even preach that and teach that. But I'd just like to say, praise the name of God, that is not exactly true. If God's people desire a move of God and will meet the conditions that God has set down in His Word, once again, power will come and God's work will move forward. I find great hope in these words right here. Listen, if you will. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Many believe that this verse is the base for verse 16. So if you get your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 16. After the question was asked about Jesus, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, who people find very easy to criticize because he was robustious, he was very quick, you know, to make decisions, never seemed to think things out real clearly, and so he's been criticized by lots of people, but one of the greatest statements we know about Jesus Christ was given by Peter. Look at verse 16 of Matthew chapter 16. And if you're there, say, Amen. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. My, that is one of the greatest statements that you're going to read in the Word of God that's being said about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the next verse, Jesus said, Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It's the Father who reveals truth through revelation. Now, something we need to get into our hearts tonight. God's plan was not for the church to sit in our buildings crying and hoping some way the devil will not be able to overcome us or defeat us. Yet that's what many of God's people are doing. Could this be why it said, when Jesus comes, will he find faith? Could that be the reason? Because in the last days, the church sort of hovers in their buildings, waiting and hoping that some way we can work our way out of this mess that where the world is in. Now let me give you God's plan for the church. God's plan is this, for the church to arm itself with the truth. You arm yourself where you can stand up and be counted for the cause of Christ by this book right here. So God's plan is for you and I to arm ourselves with the truth and fight the good fight of faith. Boy, I like the sound of that. Did you notice in Peter's answer? He gave it like this. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, all of you know this because you've been here in the church for a long time and you've heard preachers say it. The word Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. My, I'll tell you what. It is the Christ that is able to break the bondage on God's people. Listen to what Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 says. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. When we come out from under the bondage of sin, God wants you to stay free. That's what He wants of you and I. We have those today who are false teachers, just like they had false teachers back in the days of the Apostle Paul. And they would teach that one must believe in Jesus, then but. In other words, they will say, yes, you put your faith in Jesus, but they must also obey the Mosaic law and the sign which is by circumcision. So they say, yes, you've got to believe on Jesus. Then they say, you've got to keep the law if you want to be saved, if you want to go to heaven. Their teaching was beginning to hinder these Galatian believers. It was beginning to hinder their obedience to God. Anytime error gets into your life, it will hinder you from serving God. You mark that down. You mark that down. We have a lady here in our church that the Mormons are bothering her. I gave her some literature last Sunday where she can study up on it. Because when these cults come around, they give you stuff that will cause you to get disturbed and then you'll get hindered from really serving God. So you mark this down. Don't let the devil get a foothold in your life. Don't you believe these lies that you can work your way to heaven. Don't believe these lies that you are somebody that can be self-made. You and I must depend on God or we're not going to make it. But by the grace of God, we will make it because God's love is so real and so great. So we know that Christ is the anointed one. Now, we have all seen these false teachers. They're everywhere you look, even today. Their teaching began to hinder the Galatians in their obedience to God. And Paul is telling us they also attacked Paul's apostleship. You'll find several references to that in your Bible in the writings of the Apostle Paul, how they question, well, are you a real apostle? Are you a real man of God? And then they attacked his message of the gospel. His message of the gospel. Remember in one place Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed. In other words, being moved away from the true gospel. There's only one gospel. Everything else is falsehood. There's just one true gospel, and that's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Bible says is the good news. And it's certainly good news to a troubled heart when they hear that God has a love for them and that Jesus paid the price for their sins on Calvary and they can come to Him by faith. Now, when we look at that Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, here is what it actually is saying to you. For freedom, Christ freed us. For freedom, you don't free yourself. For freedom, Christ frees us. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Amen and amen. How, think of all the many different places in your Bible. I know some of you are Bible readers. You study the Word of God. You're in Sunday school. Now just think about the numbers of places we have where it's over and over again that the Bible says we have been set free by the Anointed One. The Anointed One is the one who breaks the yoke of spiritual bondage or darkness off of us. Now, question, do you know the one that sets us free? I'm sure most of you do. That's good. Now, revival is being free. That's what revival is. Revival is being free. That's why when we have revival, we are most energetic and we're most excited. And we are certainly involved in the wonderful things of the ministry of the church. Now, what are the stoppers to revival? What are the things that stop revival? Well, if the church sleeps on as it's doing today, I mean, we're just going further and further and further away, and the church seems to be asleep. You know, the Bible says, for we are to wake up! To wake up! We are to do that, and we should. And then the second thing, if the church walks on in the darkness of sin, if we just keep on ignoring sin, if we just keep on acting like, you know, sin is not relevant, it's not real, it's not there, if we just keep pretending that sin is not so bad, then we're not going to have revival anywhere in this land. Now, if the church's heart stays cold to God's will, you know, you can talk about the will of God and it doesn't move people today. And yet you would think that down in the depth of our spiritual life, there is a yearning and a calling that says, I want to do God's will. But yet if we don't have a change of heart, and if we don't come to that place where we're willing to say, God, not my will be done, but thine be done. If the Bible is a closed book to the church, and that's what it is to most today, there are preachers that stand and preach that do not even open the Word of God. Do not even open it. Those kind of churches are not going to bring revival. Because we're going to need this Word if we're going to have revival in this land. You know what's wrong with the church? This is very simple, but yet it's profound. Listen to me, if you will. We need to look forward to the future instead of talking about the past. That's what gets in trouble with a lot of marriages. We think about our marriages back in the early days when it was so sweet and so good. Let me tell you, if you think about the past with your marriage and don't consider the future and make the future good, then the past is going to be your downfall. And so that's what's true in the church. The church has to stop talking about 1942 and start talking about 2013. The year's coming and good things could happen. Great blessings could fall upon all of us in this church if we will look to the future instead of living in the past. Now understand, change is not always bad. Can you think of anything that doesn't change? Have you looked in the mirror? You change. You change. I look in the mirror and I remember when I had hair, had teeth, had good eyes. I remember all those things. We change. Every one of us change. And yet we don't realize that change is not necessarily bad, but we got to learn to live with it. And we got to learn how to be successful in it. Now, is it not true that we're not all who we were just a few years ago? No, sir. I'm not the same. You're not the same. So you're not the same as I was when I came to this church years ago. You're not the same person. Some of you have grown more in the grace of God. You're mature now in your Christianity. You love God. You want to do more. But the opposite is true with some. You've let coldness creep in. You let your thoughts sort of wander off to the things of the world. Now, I want you to listen to this question right here. What is it that keeps the church young, alive with power in whatever year it finds itself? What is it that keeps the church alive and young and in power in whatever time frame that you look at it? Well, I think we all would probably agree it's the person of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit. We all know these words. Listen to it, if you will. But ye shall receive power after, or that should, you could say, when the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, that's found in the book of Acts, and that is in chapter 1 and verse 8. Now, let me read this verse to you, because it's very important that you understand that verse 8. Because you will never understand the book of Acts unless you understand the verse 8 in Acts 1, because it gives the outline of the book of Acts. Listen to this right here. I'm going to read it to you in its entirety. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. All right. If you'll take the time, go back and study the book of Acts. You will find where it says witness in Jerusalem covers chapter 1 over to chapter 7. Witness in Judea and Samaria is covered in chapter 8 over to chapter 12. Witness to the uttermost parts of the earth is chapter 13 to chapter 28. So you have in this verse in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you have the outline to the entire book. And it's an outline that speaks about our witnessing, our working for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so easy for the church to let the Holy Spirit be left out of our plans. Even good churches do this. You see, even we could do this. And we probably have at some time or another. I pray that that will not be true in the future. But let me tell you something. We can get so caught up in our little plans and our programs and what we think and what we want to do that we can just push the Holy Spirit aside and just sort of ignore what He has to say. It was God who said we needed the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that? If you study the book of Acts, you'll find that the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 1, that is why God told the men of God there not to depart from Jerusalem until He was come. Well, you know in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit came. He came in a great way. They were all gathered there in the upper room. And there's where it happened. The Holy Spirit came down. And the New Testament church was baptized in the power of God. Now, what does that mean when we say the church was baptized in the power of God? Well, first of all, we know that the Holy Spirit is available. He is available. That's a wonderful thing. I've been to the store here recently, and there were things I wanted that wasn't available. Wasn't there. They'd already sold it out. It wasn't available. But the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit now is available. Those early men were told to tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Praise God, the Holy Spirit is available now. Waiting time is over. Today He is available for power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. For comfort, John chapter 14, 26. For reproving in John 16, 8. For wisdom in John 16, 15. And as to be a guide for you and I along life's way in John 16, 13. Not only is He available, but He's also receivable. In other words, you can have Him personally. You can have His presence in your life in a real way. Now, you know this verse. Don't turn there, but let me read it to you. In 5:18 of Ephesians, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, notice those words there. Be filled with the Spirit. I've asked myself questions about that phrase over the years. What does that really mean? Be filled with the Spirit. Now, they tell us, according to Bible scholars, that the word "fill" is a continuation word. In other words, we are to be continually filled with the Spirit. Could this be saying, though, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, He is able to do greater works in us and through us? Now think about that for a moment or two. When He says, be filled with the Spirit, is it so much the emphasis upon the Spirit, or could the emphasis be upon us? As I open myself and make myself available to the Holy Spirit, that He can work. Because you see, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you can't get any more of the Holy Spirit in you than what's in you. Now, what does that mean? That means something must be hindering Him in His work. Hindering Him. And so, if I, every day, will yield myself as a vessel, if I will surrender myself fresh every day and let Him have control in my life, then, my friends, I can see greater things in my life. And greater things will happen in my life because I have let the Holy Spirit have more control. He wants more control in your life. And all you have to do is do it by faith. You know, each day we receive by faith the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Then by faith, what do? We go out and walk in that power. It would be one thing for you to come to this altar and say, God, I receive Your power by faith. But when you walk out of this building, you don't do nothing. So what the point is, that each day, be not drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Open yourself, commit yourself to God, and then go out and by faith, live it. Live it. Let people see it. And by faith, that's what we're supposed to do. Church, when we live in the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, whichever you want to say, there will first of all be wisdom when wisdom is needed. Have you ever wondered why some dumb people can make some of the best decisions you've ever made? I have a daughter that had some money invested, and they said one day that God just said, get your money out of that. They got their money out, and then that thing fell to the bottom. How can dumb people, and I know I'm using that in a comical way, how can people that are not that smart, yet God can give them wisdom that's way above themselves? And so we find that the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. That's why you need to do what Ephesians says, be filled fresh every day, or surrender fresh every day to the Lord. Just give yourself to Him. Let Him work in your life as He wants to work in your life. There will be also something else. There will be light in a dark world. Now, the world is in darkness. It don't matter whether the sun is up or the sun is set. The world is in a world of darkness tonight. Sin is rampant all over this land. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 it says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." There will be power when the devil tries to take you down. Remember, the Bible says he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. In other words, we have to give him some opportunities if he is going to devour us. That's what the Bible says. Listen to this right here. This is one of the great verses in the Bible. My wife loves this verse right here. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Ah, that's true. You've got the greater one in you. Don't you knuckle down. Don't you let the devil have his way. Don't you just lay down on the job. You rise up in the power of God and be a man, be a woman, be what God wants you to be. Now, when we who are the church walk under this anointing that we have from God, there will be love for all, even the unlovely. Have you ever noticed how some Christians can love even people that personally you don't see how anybody can love them? They turn you off, but yet here's a person, they love the unlovely. They love that one, you know, that's sleeping on the edge of the road, under the cupboard or something. They have a love for people. And you'll have that kind of love when you are walking in the anointing of God. There will be a message of salvation for all who will hear it. Every church and every Christian ought to have that message of salvation. We ought not be ashamed to point to the cross and tell people they can trust Jesus as their salvation. Not only that, there will be help for the helpless. You know, some people are so bad off that they are helpless. They're helpless. If somebody don't help them, they're not going to make it. They're not going to get by. They're not going to find Jesus if somebody doesn't help them along the way. Paul said this, "Don't be controlled by wine, but be controlled by the Holy Spirit." There's only two options in that. You can let the wine of this world carry you and cause you to do those things that are disgraceful and unpleasing to God, or you can let the Holy Spirit carry you in the way that God wants you to walk and the way God wants you to serve. Now, if that's true, if that's what you let God do, then first of all, sin must go. You're not going to have the Holy Spirit's power driving you and blessing you and helping you if sin is not confessed. If sin is not put out of your life, the Holy Spirit, listen to me now, listen to me. The Holy Spirit does not lead down the road of sin. The Holy Spirit's never told anybody to get drunk. The Holy Spirit has never told anybody to watch pornography. The Holy Spirit has never told a man to be unfaithful to his wife. If any of those things are true, then it's the devil that's leading you, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads you to do the things that are godly and pleasing to God. So sin must go, and the message of the cross will be preached with power. If you don't mind, turn to Matthew chapter 18. Excuse me, chapter 28, I should say. Chapter 28. And I want you to look here for just a moment at this verse of Scripture right here in Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. Let me get right over there. All right. These are familiar verses, but I want you to listen to them again. We're going to start in verse 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, church, that's where we're going to get our power. We're not going to go out and do this thing in ourselves, in our strength, in our talent. That's not going to get the job done. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then notice what it says. Go ye therefore. Now, therefore means you've got to do what's been back up there in the next verse there. And in that verse, we just read it a moment ago there. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore then teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So it's very important that you and I tonight realize just how much we need the Holy Spirit working in our life. Now, if the anointing is upon you, there's going to be praise. Now, praise fills much of the Bible. Praise fills much of the Word of God. But I want you to turn over to Ephesians, if you don't mind, chapter 5. We've already given a verse out of this verse, out of this chapter. But I want you to look with me, if you don't mind, here in verse 19. Verse 19 and 20. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think praise is one of the hardest things that we have to do in this day and time, especially amongst us Baptist people, because we're just not geared to saying, thank you, Jesus. Praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to His name. That just don't seem to fit the Baptist vocabulary. But it's something we are to realize that the Bible says that God's people are to be praising people. Praising people. You remember this song right here? I'll just give a little bit of it. Praise Him. Praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him. Praise Him. Ever. In joyful song. Don't you think if we really had an understanding of praise, don't you think our song service would be greater than what they are? Don't you think we might just open our mouths and sing and give praise to God? Praise Him. Praise Him. Tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him. Praise Him. Ever in joyful song. Let me give you a verse in Psalms. Psalm 81 verse 1 says, sing aloud. Didn't say sing softly. Didn't say mumble it. It said, sing aloud unto God, our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. And I know that some of us, our singing is and should be at least a joyful noise. Amen and amen. When the church moves under the power of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be freedom. And when we've got freedom, there's going to be a revival spirit amongst the people of God. I trust tonight that you will let God, as we end this old year, end this year with you opening yourself to the things of God, and go into 2013 saying, you know, I'm going to be free this year. And I'm going to have in my life the things that God wants me to have. And I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do this year. And I think you can have it. Would you stand with me for prayer tonight?